Well, for the past two nights, we've been looking at the calls that we must answer. We've done with the first two. We did say we have all answered the first call. That's the call to life. We are here. That's the fact. We cannot change that fact. And then we were ushered into this world by God himself for a higher purpose rather than what we are occupied with. And then we did say he chose our heritage. He decided that you should be Americans, and I and Mary should be Sierra Leoneans. And we should be born in Sierra Leone, you born in whatever state you were born in. And then he just selected everything. And he knows that, all right, he knows where we are. He knows where you are as well. So we talked about that. We said however long our life is, it is short, because we all know the brevity of life. We would like to live up to 150, but by the time we get to 120, we feel that yet it is time to exit this world. And that took us to our second call, which is the call to death. We did say it is an appointment that we must meet. We did say it was an appointment that God fixed, and all we have to do is to answer it. And then that death does not have any respect for whatsoever your circumstances, whosoever you are, what benefits you enjoy, what advantages you have, as long as it's time for you to depart this world, for eternity you have to go. And then we did say we do not have a death wish for ourselves, but it has no respect for the young or the old. It has no respect for the saint or the sinner. It has no respect for the employed or the unemployed, or the good or the bad. Death comes to all. It is the negator of life. So today we are going to look at our third call. Remember, I said that throughout this week we'll be looking at the five calls that we must answer. We did say must does not allow us any latitude to say, well, I could or I can. No, it is a must that we must answer this call. So tonight, our third call, having reviewed the first two calls,
That always helps.
Okay. Is it okay?
It takes about 3 or 4 seconds.
Okay. So, we were saying that there are calls that we must answer. We've answered the first one. The second, sooner or later, we'll answer it, even though we do not have a death wish on ourselves. And the third call is one that we must answer in the future. So, is it on now? How do I know? Is it on? Not yet. Our third call is the call to resurrection. You know, this is very, very important, because our faith rests on this particular call. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 to 14, there was some who were contending. Oh, beautiful, thank you, Brother Stadler. Verse 12 says, but if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Brethren, this call is so crucial to our faith that we must believe in the resurrection. Because except the Lord comes first. Remember when we were dealing with the second call, death, yesterday, I had this phrase, except the Lord comes first. The reason being is that if the Lord should come now, we who are alive will not be resurrected. All right, it's only the dead that will be resurrected. We who are alive will only be caught up in the sky and be ever with him. So, 1 Thessalonians 4:15 to 17 makes that clear to us. It says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain if the Lord comes down, all right, will not prevent them which are asleep." That is those who are dead. Because when he started 1 Thessalonians 4, all right, he said, "Brethren, I would not have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep." So those who are died, all right, will not prevent them that are asleep. Then we which, in verse 17, says, "We which are alive and remain shall be caught up, all right, together with them in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So, if Christ does not come and I have to die, then definitely those of you who will be alive and remain will not prevent me from coming up, because I will be resurrected. But you will not be resurrected. You shall be caught up, all right, together with them in the skies and forever be with the Lord. So our faith rests on this, because if Christ be not risen, then I have no reason to preach. You have no reason to become a part of what? The Lord's church, because it's the very the foundation on which our faith stands. That is why in verse 14 it says, "And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and then your faith is also vain." Back home, there are several
It's not all.
No, I didn't think so.
There you go.
Okay. There are several thoughts about life and death. Where we come from, you have some people, jolly good fellows, who will just live their lives all through, saying that, "Okay, you know what? I'm going to live my life as it pleases me. My life is mine. Nobody should tell me what to do." He said, "When I die, it's all over." But to those people, I want to say it is not over, because there is a call that you must answer after death. Some people say, "Well, if you say," because when we go and evangelize, we normally talk about the resurrection. That all will not be done. You need to be resurrected to answer other calls. So, if there is another life, some will say, then, okay, that's good, great news to me, Brother Asgill. You've told me that, yes, when I die, I shall live again. All right, that means what? Oh, that building that I've not completed, that woman that I should have married because I never had the money in this present life, that thing I need to do, any unfinished business, at the time of death, when I come back, I will go through that and make sure that that is done. You know, most people think that it's a second time for us to live through this earthly world. But the resurrection is not like that. Another thought people say, it's impossible. Christian, you want to tell me that God, since the days of Adam, all those people, God will raise all of them? But those questions are from the finite mind. We forget to know that God is infinite. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, it says, "For my ways and your ways are not the same, neither my thoughts are your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." Brethren, most of us will look at the resurrection as if it is quite impossible to have all those resurrected from the grave. And some 40 centuries ago, Job echoed a question. Job said, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" In Job 14 and 15, it says, "If a man dies, shall he live again? Then he said, all the days of my life shall I wait till my change come. Well, verse 15, it says, thou shalt call, and I will answer. In other words, he knows that when a man dies, he shall live again, because when they call to resurrection, we don't know how we'll come forth. You know, we think that when we die, it's either we are cremated. Do you cremate your bodies here? All right? Cremate the body or bury the body. It turns after 10, 15, 20 years, it turns into dirt and all of that. Dust thou art, unto dust return. Only I remember the time we opened the tomb of our grandfather. All, what we saw was just bones. And then the hair, I think they don't perish quite easily. All right, so we had to wrap all of them. And then the gravedigger said, you know, I just put at the side there. That is his home and all of that. But my religious view, all right, taught me something else different. I know from dust he came and to dust he has returned. The soul is already to God who gave it. And someday, that mortality shall put on immortality. That's what the Bible says. So, brethren, Job said, thou shalt call, and I will answer. So whatever your thoughts are about the resurrection, that is why most people think that, you know what? I will live my life. If I have advantage over you, I will show you that I have advantage over you. If I can do this and go scot-free with impunity, I will do this. Because I know when I die, everything is okay. There are some people, when they drink, they get drunk. You know what they sing? And the kind of question in their song? They sometimes say, well, is there any resurrection? When I die, I'm done. I have enjoyed my life. Just like you see the lizard die, the dogs die, the chicken or whatever, they just feel like they're mad. But man is a living soul. Ecclesiastes 18:18-20 tells us that the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. That's the second death. So if we have souls that have sinned, it does not mean that after the physical death, they cannot die. So, what we need to know is that the resurrection is a mystery. It is a mystery. It is something that our minds cannot fathom. Because Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. It is something not just easy to understand. This requires faith. It is not for us to question, as Christians, the possibility of the resurrections of our body. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, my brother Steve, can you read that for us? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. This was a confident an assertion made by Paul himself. He said, for
we know that if our earthly house,
yes,
we have a building of God,
yes,
a house not made with hands,
eternal in the heavens. Amen. Brethren, we have, if this earthly house of this tabernacle, this is my body, if it were dissolved, it's perished. I know that you have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Because that faith that I have, that God who formed our bodies out of the dust of the ground, nobody can do that. We are told that out of the ground you form a mad man. How come the pancreas, how come the liver, how come the heart, how come the eyes? You know, if you are a surgeon, or you are close to a surgeon, ask them for them to give you some eyes that are being plucked out. You wonder how this thing can see. It's just a mass of water. There are times we smell. We wonder, where is it? Where part, you know, that we can know that this is a foul smell, this is a good aroma, this sounds like coffee, this smells like this. Sometimes we taste. People say, well, we have the sweet glands, we have the bitter, we have the sour on our tongue. Oh, that's some funny explanation. Even the way we talk. Right now, what I intend to say just comes out, and how you hear me is only to the glory of God. God on the dust, a foreman. He made us, he quickened us with his mouth, with his breath. And we started moving. But when the engine stops, when death comes, that body, as he said in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, shall return to the dust from whence it came, and then the spirit goes back to God. But if God can give us body out of the dust, he can give us another kind of body, as we have just said, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So he can raise any, the body from any condition in death and make them live again in the glorious state in the hereafter. Because 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 53, Paul said to the Corinthian church, "Behold, I show you a mystery." It is not something that you can just easily understand. He said, "But we shall all not sleep." That is why I'm saying, except the Lord comes first, there will still be people alive. But that shall all be changed. We shall not sleep, but we shall be changed. Not this earthly body that will go up in heaven. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and shall be changed. For this corruptible must put up incorruption, and this immortality, mortal, must put on immortality. That is it. We need to believe that we will be resurrected. Because in James 5, 28 to 29, the Bible says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth." You know, brethren, I look forward to that. It is on what I stand. Because, you know, in Acts 17, 30 and 31, what happens? The Bible says, "At the times of ignorance, God winked at, but commanded every man everywhere to repent." All right? In verse 31, it says what? "For he had appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by bad man who did ordain, in that they had given assurance unto all men by raising him from the dead." So if Christ be not risen, then our faith is in vain. Now he's saying that term one, all that are in the grave, my great dad, your great auntie, all those that are in the grave will hear his voice and shall come forth. As I told you yesterday, most of these funerals, I preside over the funerals. I always tell the mourners, the immediate family, I tell them that no amount of what we say to the dead will change is what? His destiny. All we can do now is to speak to the living. So sometimes I leave the corpse and I go somewhere there and talk to the living because they are the only ones. I said, but the only time that this corpse will respond is when that trump shall sound. And definitely, wheresoever they are, they shall come forth. When they arise, or when they are raised from the dead, some shall go unto the resurrection of life because they have done good, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Therefore, my dear brethren, we are born into this world without our consent. The moment we begin to understand life, we die. We are not allowed to rest in the grave forever. We'll be made what? To come forth. Just like a dead seed. A seed has to die and then it begins to sprout into another tree. Brethren, we shall all come forth from the grave. But when we come forth from the grave, it is not another chance to go through the earthly life. You know, most people think that we will be having some, what they call, reincarnation. You start, you know the karma? You ever heard about the karma? The Bible teachers should have done this. The karma, they say, well, you come in as a human being. The next one, you come in as a as a horse. The next one, you come in as a dog. Let's say you come and you go through all the various lives and all that. Just something that we cannot understand. But it's not an opportunity for you to go through life once again. It is not an opportunity, as I said, to complete unfinished business. It is not a chance for you to prove that to someone else that you have the edge this time. You know, many a time, you would have wanted to do something, but you are handicapped. You think that you don't have the funds, you don't have the prestige, you don't have the advantage. But in the next world, you think that, okay, when I resurrect, probably I'll be the president of the United States. No, that's not that. When you are raised from the earth, you are not going to have a second chance to do that. And also, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they preach damnable doctrines. You know, when a Jehovah's Witness died, I don't know how many of you have witnessed the funeral. In Sierra Leone, because of our religious tolerance, if a friend or a neighbor is a Jehovah's Witness dies, you tend to attend the funeral so that they can know that you are sympathized with the family. But what they do is quite interesting. When that person, when the announcement comes that he is dead, everybody will just cry the whole day, the whole week. But as soon as it's time for the funeral, everything changes automatically. In fact, the corpse is given shoes. He's dressed with shoes and other thinking that he's going to walk this earth again. And it's only one short psalm, one short prayer, about five or four items in the worship service, in the funeral service. One, two, three, four. Yes, four. Four, and then they are done. And the next day, the wife, if that's the old man who died, all right, we'll just go about our life quite easy, knowing that when the trump shall sound, this person will still be alive, all right, on this earth. So the Jehovah's Witnesses think that there will only be 144,000 people that will inherit. But the Bible smashes against that vehemently. Because if we look at Revelation 7, verse 9, the Bible says, after the first eight verses in which after the 12 tribes, that's how they got the 144,000. Verse 9 says, John said, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, even though they have numbered 144,000. All right? Of all nations, that is from America, from Sierra Leone, from Liberia, from Guinea, not only the tribe of Israel, and kindreds and peoples and tongues, different languages, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white and palms in their hands, saying and carry life words, salvation to our God. So we all shall be there. We all shall be there if only we can wash our robes white. Because the conversation with the elder was that when they were asked in verse 13, he said, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sit down west. And he said, these are they that came out of great tribulations and have washed their robes and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That is why when we sing the song, are you washed in the blood? Do you sing that song? Have you been to Jesus? You washed? We are the ones being numbered here. So it's not the 144 alone that will be in heaven. So we will have to come forth. Mary needs to have that faith, that confidence, that if I pass before her, which I hope so, all right, not now, about some 100 years from now, when I pass, she should know that, yes, she has the confidence that someday I will see Christian, not as the husband, because in heaven there is no marriage, but she will know, see me, clothed in his righteousness, and we all shall see salvation to our God in heaven. Amen. Brethren, the resurrection is a must. It's a must because of the love of God desires it. That is what God wants us to be reconciled to Him. God wants that after death, the physical death, we come forth so that He can reward us who have done well. And also, the justice of God also demands it. You know, honestly, see what we are doing. There are some people who are somewhere downtown. What do you call it? Where's the hottest part? In Salo, say the hottest part where you have all the clubs. Las Vegas, eh? Las Vegas is there where they pay all the gambling. Yeah, some are there now. They don't care. We care for God. We want our salvation. So the justice of God will demand that we all come forth. The power of God will also grant it. God can do anything. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if God can, by word of mouth, create the world, what about us? Can He bring us forward? Yes, He can. He will bring us forward. Our third call, our intimate will come and might will come forth. That is why the resurrection comforts all of us, Christians. In 1 Corinthians 15, that's where it's mostly discussed. But we'll not go through all of it. We'll just read these selected verses. We've already done with verse 12. We said verse 12 says, 1 Corinthians 15, that if Christ be preached and He rose from the dead, how is some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? And then verse 22 says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. In verse 26, we also see that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So all does not end at death. And then also verse 54 to 57, the Bible says, so when this corruption shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, all right, death that is written, death is swallowed in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the law is of sin is the law. But verse 57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So brethren, the resurrection is a must. We will all die. After living through this world, very, very briefly. Just imagine if I ask Brother Taylor now, I say, Brother Taylor, can you recount how you went through life? You want to start? Oh, I went to kindergarten. I went to this high school, college. I worked at this and all that. Well, if you look at it, it's so brief, it's so short. And you can easily conclude that the number of years he has lived is just like a day. The Bible says 1,000 years is like a day in the sight of God. So if we think that we are 80, 90, 100, 110, 120, all can just be a day in the sight of God. So we live through this rough, short world, having all this extra temptation. Sometimes we fight, sometimes we yield, sometimes we go back, we ask God for forgiveness. We are always struggling to keep it up with God. And then we die. Whatever way we were buried, it doesn't matter. Because the soul, which is accountable to God, has already begun in God's keeping. It's in the alien world, retaining all its faculties, as we saw in John and Mark. Luke 16, 19 to 31. And then when we are in the grave, that's not all to it. There will come a time a trump shall sound. You know, Paul was comforting those in Thessalonica. He said, brethren, because they were counting their dead. They were counting their dead. They said, we are missing some people. Because that's what death does. It snatches your loved ones from you. So for some reason, they were just uneasy. So in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18, if we can go there, let's see what Paul told them. Paul said, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18, he said, "But brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep." In other words, he said, they are asleep. They are not dead. You know, when we sleep, we intend to get up, right? All right, so somebody wakes you up, you get up. So that trump shall wake all of them up. He said, "For if we believe that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope," that's the hope we should have. All right, "for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from the heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." We shall come up. It's a must. You cannot say, "No, I'm tired, let me rest. I'm not getting up." Or you cannot say, "Oh, why can't you just wait for me for the next 2 or 3 years? And then probably I will decide when to come up." No, the dead in Christ shall. You know, when you use this word, shall and will. You know, I was one time an English teacher. I always tell my students, I said, these pronouns that we use, we have to be very, very careful how we communicate with the pronouns. Do you know pronouns? Is that the way they teach you as well, pronouns? This takes the place of nouns. For example, you want to say Christian, you can say he. All right, so that's the pronoun. So when you use the first persons, first person singular, which is I, if I enter myself, first person plural, which is we, including the speaker himself. So if I said we at Brown Street, I am included as well. When you use it and you want to indicate the future, you use either will or shall. When you say we shall go to the zoo, that is not with emphasis. "I shall do your work." That is not with the emphasis that it's a must that you are going to do it. But if you say, "I will," it shows determination. And then "we will." So if this ordinary is shall, will shows emphasis and determination. So what we are saying here is that the Bible says, shall rise first. So the dead in Christ will now be the third person plural. That is the they. They should have been will. But when you say they shall, it means very, very emphatic that they have nothing but to just get up. And so all of us will get up. I don't care how long we've died for. We have to be resurrected by that trump. How God is going to do it, I do not know, but I know that he's powerful enough to author the world into existence by just the word of mouth. He said, "Let there be," and there was. So what about me sending my soul to have the body, you know, just so I can be arraigned for the next call that we'll discuss tomorrow by his grace? I'm not here to question that. I'm only here to share that that is what the Bible says. And Paul was encouraging them. The Thessalonian church, it said, "Then we shall live and remain, shall be caught up in the clouds together with the Lord to meet them in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." Then in verse 30 says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Brethren, it's not going to be the end for us. And if Christ had not come, what a hopeless situation we are in. We are born into this world without our consent, roughshod world, missing the mark all the time. All right, man has fallen since the days of Adam and Eve. All what God has done, man has become rebellious with Israel, and until after the 400 years of silence, the fullness of time, God sent his Son for us so that we can have salvation. Brethren, all those who have gone on, all the things that have gone on before, at the tomb they shall be raised. If we are alive, we will see them, we will recognize them, we will know. You know, I always tell my congregation, I said, I will take a walk to where Jonah is in heaven. And I'll ask him, how was that fish belly? I'll keep company with the saints because I know they all will come forth. They all the dead shall rise first. Those of us who die in the Lord will be raised. We shall come forth. So tonight, since we all as men of the human race can safely conclude that we are here and we do not know when we are going, and after we have gone, we don't care how long it is, someday we shall get up again. Since we must live again, it is imperative command on compulsion that man hears the word of God, believes the word of God, repents, confesses Jesus Christ as his Savior, and be baptized for the remission of his sins. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I remember Cornelius. Cornelius, the Bible describes him as the most devout man, most generous person, but yet still he was lacking in one thing. So you cannot say, well, I am not a member of the Lord's church, but I'm fine. No. The Bible says you need to follow the plan of salvation. You need to hear his word as in Romans 10:17. Believe his words. Repent of your sins. I will repent of mine. I will confess him as the Son of God. And I will follow the trend as in Acts 2 and verse 38. When Peter had accused the house of Israel, he said, Noah shortly in verse 36, that God had made that same Jesus whom you had taken by cruel hands and crucified, both Lord and God. They said in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? Tonight, you would have been coming close to that question. I don't know how close, but I hope the closest. Because this may be your last opportunity. You are in this world. You may not know when you are leaving. And you may not go with impunity forever. Because the trump shall sound, and we shall all come forth. But when we come forth, it's not a second chance to do what we left undone, or to do the more what we are engaged doing, or we enjoy doing in the last life. But it's only to make us ready for the next call that we'll discuss tomorrow night. So, if you have not yet been a member of the Lord's Church, this is a perfect time, because we do not know whether we will see tomorrow morning. But I hope we all will see tomorrow morning. I hope to see the end of the year. Other years, 10, 50, 30, 40, 60 years more. And I wish the best for all of you. But again, my life is not in my hands. Yours is not in your hands as well. So if you are seated there now, know that today is the day of salvation. Now that you are hearing his voice, not mine. You know, when I come to preach, every time I have the opportunity to preach, I pray a very, very short prayer. And I always tell the Lord, I say, Lord, let me decrease and you be magnifying me so that when your word is spoken, it may result in changed lives. So you have not been listening to me. You have been listening to the word of God. And the word of God says, that is your plan of salvation. And after you have been baptized, arrangements could be made because we did not delay baptism. Even if it's midnight, we can do that. And after you have been added to his body, because Acts 2 and verse 47 She's praising God and having favor, and the Lord added daily to the church that has been saved. So if you have been saved, then all will be that you should continue steadfastly, along with the brethren who are going to provide you the support, all the necessary support, so that at the end of time, on the change time for eternity, we all will hear the voice, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys that have been prepared for you." As we stand and sing this song of invitation, please do not go back on what you have already decided just now, because I know Satan will be saying, "You have more time." No, time is not on our hands. Tonight may be the last night. I remember after Paul had preached Jesus to Felix, or the King Agrippa, one of the two, he said, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." And then another one said, "You go, I will hear this some other time." But as far as the Bible is concerned, he never called for the word of God again. But since you are here, we ask that this is the life you are in. You do not even know how you came into this world. Neither would you know the time that you live. When you leave this world, you may not even know when the trump shall sound. And when the trump sounds, nobody can say, "I'm not getting up." Just as you came into this world, that's how you get up. And when you get up, we pray that the good Lord will keep all of us tomorrow so that we can look at why we are resurrected from the grave in the fourth call. So as we call on the song leader to do the song, please take this decision tonight. If you have been in the lost church, but you have been dragging your feet, you have not been doing things, we now know that a record is being kept. God knows what we are doing. We know that we are here, but we'll soon leave. And when we die, we know that again we'll be raised. And when we are raised, by tomorrow, you know that this resurrection is not for fun. Because the justice... Oh, you've gone on to... That's beautiful. You very much. This resurrection is for a particular purpose. So let us all adhere to be steadfast, counting on God to provide us directions, so at the end of the day, our labor will not be in vain. Tomorrow we'll know that there is no travesty, there is no mockery, there is no trickery with God. For the Lord knows them that are His. As we stand and sing the song of invitation, let us make this wise decision, and God will bless you.